Welcome back to the Cycling with Watts podcast. It has been a very long time. I think 4 years, I checked back, is the last time I dropped a podcast. Now, I started off Cycling with Watts as a podcast. I am putting this on YouTube because I started a TikTok channel about a year ago. So this is my grand entrance back into the podcast life. And to say I'm not excited to listen to myself talk would be an understatement because, you know, I'm a narcissist and I put myself out there on content because I like to see myself on video and listen to myself talk. So this is the Cycling with Watts podcast. It is all things cycling. We do a little bit of pro cycling. We do a little bit of training. We do a little bit of gear reviews. We do a little bit of nutrition. We do a little bit of it all. And this is being put up on YouTube while also being put out into the podcast universe. Let's dive into it today. I am in my pain cave, which you can see on video, but I'm in my Zwift room because this is where I spend about 6 months of my year when I'm on the bike because I live in Minnesota and we get pounded with snow and very cold weather. So this is December, and even though we don't really have snow yet in Minnesota, very hot for this time of the year, still just a little too cold to be biking outside. So we're all indoors. And so we're going to talk all things indoor cycling, a little bit of setup, a little bit of which platform you should be using, or I'll at least give you my take on all the platforms out there. And then what I'm doing in my indoor training this off season, because it includes some different things that I've done in the past. So if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard me for 4 years, I'll give you a quick little update on my life. So I'm still racing, which is very fun. It looks a little bit different because now I have two kids. I am a dad of two, married, full-time job. So I'm juggling all of that while also trying to be a competitive racer. I am a Category 2 racer on the road, Category 3 in cyclocross, hoping to upgrade next year to be Cat 2 across the board. It was always a big goal of mine. I wouldn't say it's necessary for anybody. It was always a goal of mine, and now I'm there, and I probably won't be winning many races these days anymore, racing against the 1-2 fields. But that's okay. It was always a goal of mine. I'm really glad I reached out the road. Now I got to try to reach it on cyclocross. Little bit of update just to catch you all back up. Oh, that's a timer going off. I set a timer for this podcast, forgot that I set it, and now it's going to make it into the podcast. Well, that's if my microphone picks it up. So let's drop into today's topic, indoor cycling. First up, what do you need in order to go big on your indoor cycling journey? Well, I would highly recommend a direct drive trainer. I think that's where you need to start, is what trainer are you going to use? If you have a wheel-on trainer right now, keep using the wheel-on trainer. I'm talking about if you don't have a trainer, go direct drive, don't go wheel-on. There's just issues with wheel-on. I think the biggest issue is the tightening aspect of it. You can tighten the back wheel and it can fluctuate power. So it's just not as accurate. It's loud, it's noisy, it's not as fun to do. A huge thing with cycling for me, affordability is one. But then is it fun? If it's not fun, you're not going to do it. And a lot of people hate indoor cycling. I love it. Okay. I do love it. I have a nice space for it. I know that that is a blessing and something I looked for when we got a new home. But direct drive will make it more fun. I just think it's better training. It's better training quality. I think it's better if you want to get into racing. I think all around it's a lot better to go with. And luckily, direct drives are pretty cheap these days, relatively speaking to what they were. You can get a lot of trainers for around $500, brand new. And you can get used ones for like $300, $400 that used to be $1,000. I mean, literally on Facebook Marketplace, there's a lot of trainers on there right now that were $800 to $1,000, and they're in that $400 price range. I would still go new just because there can be some warranty issues with trainers. I've had some issues with my Wahoo Kicker Core, and Wahoo has always just swapped it out for me. It's been great, wonderful, great customer service. So I would recommend buying new, but you can buy used. And I think you can find a very good trainer used. So direct drive would be number one. Number two, get yourself some big fans. I have big Lasco fans that blow on me, and that really helps cool me down. Why is that important? Because if you want to train hard, you need to cool yourself down. That is just so important. Otherwise, you are going to sweat buckets, literal buckets. I used to be a bike mechanic, and I have seen corroded handlebars eating through the handlebar because of sweat from indoors. It's disgusting, okay? It can get into your cables, your brake cables, your shifting cables, your bars. It can mess up a lot of things, okay? if you get a ton of sweat in there. Now, they make sweat protection spray stuff. I've never used it. I don't know if it works. Let me know if it does work. I just try to manage not sweating on my bike to begin with. And fans are going to help with that. But they're also going to help you perform better. You need to cool your core body temp down in order to put out, you know, some of those high intensity efforts, those VO2 max efforts, those long threshold efforts. I promise you, you will perform better if you cool yourself down. There's just no doubt about it. If you want to do heat adaptation training, then maybe you don't want fans for a little bit, but in the long run, you want fans. So when you want to train hard, you have those fans. Heat adaptation is a whole, you know, kind of different subject to talk about, but you would just not use the fans if you were trying to do that in your training. So big fans, direct drive trainer, big fans. And then three, again, with sweat management is I would use headbands. I use headbands and wristbands. And then I lay a little towel. By towel, it's like a thin, very thin, like cooling towel. That's what I put over my handlebars just to make sure no extra sweat is getting on there. But majority of the time, I have no sweat on my hands for an hour, 2 hours with the fans and the sweatbands. Okay. You don't want sweat get on your bike. So that was number three. Number four, get yourself something to watch. I have a Lacode Morse tablet holder, which runs Zwift, and I've hooked up my phone, kind of jerry-rigged something onto that. I have the Z Fold tablet phone, which is sweet. So I open that bad boy up, and I hook up an HDMI cable to a big screen that I have in front of me. That's how I watch everything. I can stream it from my phone onto the big screen, super easy. And when I want, I can stream the iPad running Zwift onto the big screen. So get yourself a nice little setup, something to watch. A table, Wahoo makes a desk. A little pricey in my mind, but the Lacode Morse tablet holder is really nice because that tablet is right in front of my face. Let me tell you, I love it. I love how close that is when I'm watching my Zwifting on there. Don't have it on the big screen for races. I don't know. I kind of like to blow it up big. It's fun. It's not necessary though. I could still just run it on the tablet. So that would be, I think that would be all of my big advice when it comes to kind of your indoor setup. Some other little things that I've added, I put a video out about it on YouTube, is I have some like LED light strips around my indoor biking setup. And does it make it like fun and enjoyable. I can get the lighting exactly how I want in here. It just kind of spruces up the space and makes me feel good about getting on the bike. I like to wear a good kit when I'm inside as well because it makes me feel good. And when I feel good, I want to train. I'm not saying you have to wear good kit, but a lot of people don't wear good kit indoors. And for me, that really helps me get on the bike. And indoor training for me is like the biggest battle is just getting on the bike. Once I'm on the bike, I'm usually pretty fine. Like I can entertain myself with shows and TV and things like that. So I put on good kit. Similarly, the lighting condition. The lights in here, it just makes me want to train. It's cool. And they're super cheap. They're like $15 that cover a lot of space. So for like $45, $50, you can put up a ton of lighting if you have the space for it. If you don't, if you're setting it up in your living room, and, you know, whoever you're living with doesn't want you to add those lights, well, I can't help you there. But if you have a dedicated space, that's what I would recommend. I also don't have, like, a bunch of junk around my space. I know for some people, like, it's unavoidable if you're in a basement or something. But I can't think when I am cluttered like that. So all my Zwifting spaces, whether it's been in a living room setting, whether it's been in an office setting or now in a dedicated room, I keep it somewhat clean. Like, that helps me focus when I'm biking. And, again, all these things are helping me get on the bike. So that's just kind of extra side tangent nugget is like I remove a lot of these things out of my life that it would maybe hamper me from getting on the bike or make me pause or like, I need to do that. And then you just don't get on the bike. So that all aside. Now, at the beginning of the podcast, I said I'm a dad of two. And we're going to get to the platforms that I like here in a second. But I just want to tell you how like crucial indoor cycling is to my fitness. I'm a dad of two, work full time, married. I like to keep a life outside of cycling. I love cycling, but indoor training has literally, it's one of the sole reasons I'm able to perform at the level I'm able to perform. Because I just do not have the time to ride outside these days. And I had my first kid end of 2020. So COVID, I got to train so much outside. My wife was pregnant. She was like, sure, go do your thing. But now that we have a kid, I don't have that time to ride outside anymore. And indoor training is just so quick and simple. Like you can just pack so much training into a short period of time. I mean, when I'm being dead serious when I say 6 to 8 hours is my normal week of training. To some people, that's going to seem super small. To some people, that'll seem big. But 6 to 8 hours of training a week is generally what I am putting in. And that's because I'm doing structured training indoors, where an hour workout can do, it's a big bang for your buck, those hour workouts inside compared to outside. Outside, you have traffic lights, you have stop signs, you have cars. You just need to stop at times. It's really hard to hit that interval perfectly. Indoors, it's like, it's perfect every single time, basically. As long as you're putting out the watts, especially on ERG mode with your trainer, you just perfectly hit those workouts. Like, I can't express how perfectly you can hit those workouts. And in an hour, you won't stop pedaling. And that does so much to your fitness and so much to your, like, aerobic base, where outside you're coasting, at times you're stopping, you're waiting for the light to turn, you're at a stop sign, whatever it may be. Like, you are coming to a slowdown, stopping, and then you have to ramp back up. You never stop pedaling indoors, which I think really helps your fitness long run. But I can get on the trainer at 5 in the morning when it's dark outside. It's not that safe to do that outside. Yeah, I had done it, right, of course, like with lights and made it safe. But practicality, I mean, just being practical, it's way easier to be inside. So that's like, as a dad of two, full-time worker, indoor training just so crucial to what I want to accomplish out on the road in my racing and in cyclocross. It frees me up so much extra time. And when I get on the bike at 5, I'm done at 6. I am done at 6. And I can swoop right into dad mode. Like the other night, I did a Zwift race, and my wife let me do it. It was at 6 o'clock at night, I think 6:30 it started. It was a 40-minute race, so I warmed up for about a half hour, 40-minute race, and like 2 minutes after I was done, I did a small warm-up, or warm down, cooled out, small one. I went straight upstairs and did bedtime with my daughter. Like, you just can't do that with outdoor racing or outdoor training. Like, that was super nice. I just, boom, done, go upstairs, bedtime with my daughter. She did care that I was a little bit sweaty. A little bit of an issue. I should have just changed before and then done bedtime, but that's been huge. Okay, let's get into platforms that I like. Zwift is my number one. It's been my number one since I started training, because they've done a really good job of gamifying training. Plus, they have so many people on the platform and they have so many events. All those things kind of paired together. I think some other platforms do other aspects well, but they don't put the full package together like Zwift does. So the big factors for me on Zwift is there's so many people on there at one time. When I go free ride in a world, there's people around me, and that motivates me to keep riding. It makes me feel like I'm part of something when 4,000 other people are training at that exact same time in that exact same world. That part's cool. They have events basically 24/7. This is not sponsored by Zwift, by the way. I'm just trying to give my realistic opinion on what I think is the best. So they have events like 24/7. So many races that you can choose from. So many group rides, time trials. They have fondos. They just have a plethora of events going on all the time. They also have pace partners. So if you can't join an event at a certain time, you can grab a pace partner at 1.2 watts a kilogram, 3.4 watts a kilogram. I mean, they have like every range that you could think of. And it's basically a group ride happening 24/7. You can pick which pace you want to do. No other platform is doing those types of things. And I think the world looks cool. I really enjoy the way the world looks. They have some huge racing. They have the Zwift Racing League, where I'm like on a team of 6 and we're racing against people all over the country. Like, that, there's just no platform doing that. So I would say number 2 platform, MyWoosh is the new kid on the block. I think the world is better than Zwift. I think their training plans are better than Zwift. Zwift has good training plans, I would say. Not like the best, not the worst. Good training plans. MyWoosh probably has better training plans and a better world. But there's just really not that many people on it. And there's not that many events to do. So I got to move more things in my life if I want to do a race or an event. It's not as easy as Zwift. Zwift is way easier, but MyWoosh is free. So that aspect is really cool. If you don't care about people being around you and you don't care about events, then MyWoosh is a really good option. Now, MyWoosh also has some prize events where I think you can win money or you can win prizes. Like, they do stuff like that, which is cool, I think. And they are hosting the Esports World Championships coming up in 2024. They made a partnership with the UCI for a couple of years. So that's cool. Like, I think that's going to elevate and get better. The graphics are incredible, but also device limitations. My iOS device could not run it. Like, it had to be a certain, iOS device that could run my Woosh, and that was limiting to me. I could only run it off my Android cell phone. And I don't have a computer right now. I don't even know if you can run it on a Mac. That'd be a good question, compatibility-wise. But that frustrated me. Like, I want to run it on my tablet. And that brings me to my third one, IndieVelo. IndieVelo seems to be doing racing better than Zwift, racing better than my Woosh with some of their, you know, requirements and trying to weed out cheaters. I think they're doing a good job of that, and they have some big things coming. Also free, IndieVelo. I think it's a cool platform, but I could only run it on my Mac, and my Mac really slowed up running it the couple times that I did it, and it like would free, it would glitch. So like every 2 seconds, my avatar would move. Wildly frustrating to look at. I was watching something on TV, but still, like, on the corner of my eye, my avatar is glitching every two, and this happened a couple times. I think IndieVelo has one thing figured out, even though it's kind of weird. They have bots in the game, so you feel like you're riding with other people, but they're bots, and they're not real. And I wasn't on the platform long enough to figure out who was real and who wasn't. So I didn't know that aspect of it. And there's only, like, one world to ride in, where my Woosh, you can ride in, like, five or six different real worlds, which is cool. Like Belgium they have on there, and they have some Middle Eastern countries. So that was cool. Zwift has like made up worlds designed after real worlds. So a little bit of both. IndieVelo has like one world that you can ride in. They have some decent training plans, but again, it's free. Like it's in this beta version right now. So I think that's going to elevate and get better. Then you have Ruvi, which is like augmented reality. I never liked Ruvi that much. There's some people who do like it. I didn't like the augmented reality thing. Was just weird, like digital character outside. I just felt slow on it. Zwift makes me feel fast. My Woosh, I felt fast on. IndieVelo, I felt fast on, even though I'm like sitting in one area. Like it just feels fast. Like there's something about feeling like you're going. Ruvi felt like I was just standing in place. I didn't really like that one. So, and it costs money. I just haven't spent that much time on Ruvi. The augmented reality thing just kind of shut it off for me from the beginning. It was kind of a non-starter. I didn't like that aspect of it. And then Full Gas. So I used Full Gas for a while back in 2020 because I was trying to do a 24-hour time trial and they were hosting it on Full Gas. So Full Gas is like you're looking through the lens of a GoPro attached to a bike on a real route, and then it dictates how fast you're going on that route based on how much power you're putting out through the pedals. I liked and didn't like that. Overall, I didn't like it because, again, I felt slow. I like looking at my avatar. Like, it makes me feel like I'm actually doing something and riding. I didn't like looking at the GoPro camera. Just, I didn't like it moving around. I like the fixed screen of Zwift. And it was glitchy. I had some issues with it. Now, back in 2020, I think it's a good option. There are people who I've chatted with who really enjoy looking at that screen. I didn't. It's paid as well, and they have some decent training plans. I didn't like looking at that camera. Even though I put out a bunch of race footage, personally, I don't like watching that when I'm training. It's me. You may be different. I'm trying to give you my opinion here. I didn't love Full Gas. And then the last, Wahoo has System X, and their training platform was solid, super solid training platform. But it showed me like real videos of pro races. Kind of cool, kind of not cool. Didn't love it, but really solid training plan. So if you want like the best solid training plan, be that mixed with Trainer Road. Jeez, I haven't even talked about Trainer Road because it's not a game. But the best training plan probably out there is Trainer Road. You just don't get a game to look at. So you get this black screen with bars, which, again, best training platform, Trainer Road, hands down. But it's not a game, so I didn't really include it here. Zwift has been my favorite. That's my wrap on indoor cycling. Thank you so much for listening to the pod or watching on YouTube. Please subscribe wherever you are at. It really helps the channel out. And we'll see you in the next one.